what you do. Maybe you're not told that every day, but let me tell you. Because you have Jesus, you are a great mother. Would you agree, church? Amen. Let's show them. The effects of being a mother who walks with Him will last for all eternity. And Jesus knows how hard you work some days, and He sees how much you give, and His heart longs to love on you today, moms. So know that you're loved. Can you turn with your Bibles? Hold up your swords. Remember that? Bibles up! No fingers in the... Yeah. Anyways, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can look on the screen. So I'm going to be reading the verse two times from two different scriptures. Two different versions of the Bible. And the first one is the New International Version. And it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I always like to check out what the message says, because sometimes it says it a little bit different, but sometimes it's a little more easier English language. So it, verse 5, it says, that precious memory triggers another, your honest faith. And what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice, and now to you. Well, thank you. Thank you, God, for all the generations that went before me, that went before you, that loved God, that wanted to teach and train and disciple those that were in their charge. They wanted to teach and train in righteousness. Well, grandfathers, grandmothers, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, teachers, congregation, I have a question for you today. What are we handing down to the next generation? For those who are already here, maybe they're upstairs in the children's ministries, for those who are to come, what are we handing down to our next generation? Paul knew the importance of recognizing and thanking Timothy's family, Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and the mother, and today, it's Mother's Day. We're recognizing our grandmothers and mothers. Paul recognized their faithfulness to teach and to disciple Timothy. And Paul saw Timothy as his spiritual son. Not his biological son, his spiritual son. He says in verse 2, to Timothy, my dear son. Maybe you have a spiritual son or daughter, or maybe you have a spiritual mother or father that you've always looked up to. They've been mentoring you and helping you. Paul encourages Timothy to be steadfast, just like he saw in these two women. And to be steadfast means that you are committed, you are unwavering, you are resolute, you are persistent. And they taught and they discipled and they mentored Timothy. We need our children and our youth to have sacred roots. You'll see on here. From the smallest child, there can be the greatest potential when God is in it. Have you ever heard a child pray? The things that come out of their mouth. Sometimes funny, like we saw on the video. But sometimes way beyond their years. Whatever your age or gender, you can be a good example of how to follow Christ. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. If we turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 34. It's the parable of the mustard seed. And in verse 30, it says, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. And yet, when it is planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Think about what your influence on the children of this church will do for them in their life now, but in their future as well. We're talking potential. Just one child grabbing those teachable moments and talking about the Lord. We want our children, our youth, our young adults to have a strong biblical worldview, and a seed that is planted can spring to life. We want them to know Christ and make him known. Amen? Think about this statistic. If we take 1 hour, 1 hour or so on a Sunday to disciple the kids in the church, we have that going on right now upstairs. Our teachers are up there and they're discipling and training our kids. Well, if we take that 1 hour and there's 24 hours in a day, and in the 24 hours you multiply it by 7 days in a week, I know it's a lot of math, but you come up with 168 hours in a week. Have you ever thought about this? Parents, 1 hour in a 168-hour week is what the average student is getting for discipleship. Unless you parents are discipling your kids every day, at every moment, at every chance you have, they are only coming to church and getting 1 hour. So really, if you look at a year, our kids are only getting 52 hours a year at church in discipleship. 365 days, they're coming. If they come every week, it's only 52 hours in a year. So this is why I want to say, parents, you're the primary discipler. We have to do the bulk of discipling, parents. We have to. God has called us to do that. I'm speaking to myself today. You know, if we stop and we look at what's happening right now in children's ministries in our church, do you know that we have put the plea out several times? And we've said, we do not have enough helpers in our Sunday morning classes to teach, to train, to disciple the children for that 1 hour each week. We are doing a disservice to our children. Sorry. We need to rise up and help us. Help us. Help those teachers who are up there every week. Help the helpers that come and help them so that they can be here in church listening. We need you to rise up and say, yes, you know what? I will help. I'm going to help teach. Our kids need sacred roots. And we have a very big challenge ahead of us and such little time to teach them. So congregation, can you help? Parents, can you assist? We need your help. We need helpers in ages 4 and 5 class. We need helpers in 6 and 7 class. We need in 8 and 9 class. We need helpers in the preteen class. And that's just Sunday. Well, what about kids' night out or family night out? Yeah? We need helpers. We need helpers to come alongside our preteen ministry. If we want to go further with them, we have a preteen class, and it is busting at the seams. Praise God. And we have anywhere from 18 to 25 kids every week. It is awesome. But we can't rise to the next level for them until we do. We want more for them. I want more for them. I want to do more for them. But you know what? As a pastor, I can't even think of starting anything for our community if we can't even get our Sundays right. So we need to step up, church. We're a family. I want to see my children flourish in the Lord. I want to see our children grow and flourish in the Lord. I want our children to know their memory verses that they're sent home each week. Parents, we got to be teaching them the Word of God. It's got to be hid in their heart. Not so they just won't sin, but they'll know the answer when they're asked. They need to have it in their heart. They need to be bringing their Bibles and their offering every week. It's far too easy for children to lose their way in this world. This is all a part of putting our sacred roots down in our children's lives. And we don't want just anyone inputting into their lives, right? So right now, there's a desperate call out for children to be nurtured. Our sons and our daughters need to be surrounded by nurture if they are to thrive. I'm reading an excellent book right now. My mother-in-law gave it to me. It's called Nurture by Lisa Bevere. And I'm like on page 52, and I've been reading it for weeks. It's not that I'm a slow reader, but there's so much in it. I suggest that book. Women, we need to step up into this role. The world needs its women. Sons and daughters, they need their mother. And we are heartsick as the earth. We are heartsick. We need intimate. We need safe. We need real connection so that we can turn and help and heal others. And one simple way to nurture is by loving our children in this church. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to preach this because we're not at our best. We're not. Did you know that we don't have enough nursery workers, that I have to post unsupervised nursery? I've been doing that the last couple weeks. I'm thankful for those teachers and helpers who we have. But we also have to get out of our comfort zone. We have moms that are in the nursery every week with their own children and not able to attend service because we don't have enough workers. Let's look at Psalm 1. It's going to be on the screen as well. And Psalm 1 is, I love Psalms. But Psalm 1 in particular, it says, as we consider the next generation, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. We need to help our children and our young people put down sacred roots. See, that's how the tree survives. It has strong roots that go down deep. And he delights in God's word, and he's thinking about it all of the time. And one version says that the tree is planted by streams of living water. Who and what are kids? Who are they planting beside? Who do they get their information for life from? Who's helping to shape and mold them with the mind of Christ? Are our children yielding fruit and prospering? Well, number two, we need to work together. I understand that for some of you in the congregation, I get it. Working with kids is not your cup of tea. And that's okay, because we are all given gifts. And each one is not the same. Well, let's look at our visitors. When our visitors come through those doors, do we greet them well? Do we tell them our first name and take that step to show kindness to them? Or, good morning. Good morning. Yep, I'm busy. I got to get over there. And see you later. Bye-bye. Good morning. Good morning. Sorry. Well, it's nice to show a smile, but what about taking that next step Hi, how are you? Have you had a good week? Would you like to sit beside me? Well, here's a great example of what someone in the church did. I'm not going to point out their name, but I'm sure they're going to have a big smile on their face when they realize that it was them. It was a 3 to 5 minute greeting time on Sunday, and one of our persons who was singing on the stage, I always call them, you know, when we used to have them all together, they're like the doo-wop, you know, the doo-wop girls, you know. Okay, for some of you didn't get that, but that's okay. Anyways, it was one of those persons, so I'm narrowing it down for you, they saw someone new in the service. They went right down at the 3 to 5 minute, it was like zing, and they found that new person. They introduced themselves, they talked for a bit, and then they said, hey, you know what, I'm going to come back at the end of the service, and I'll take you to go get your free coffee. And I'll introduce you to a few people because you're new here. And this person did that. And do you know what? Through this person, through that person, through this person, I found out about it. Wow, that was so impressive. Because that visitor was so impressed with how we dealt with a visitor. How we took care of that person. Does that happen every Sunday? Maybe not. But it's about working together. What about some of our moms who sit at the back with their children? One Sunday, they may need a hand. You know, you're carrying two kids, or you're running quickly, and you've got the carrying case and the diaper bag, and you're sort of, okay, I think my slip's down, and and my hair, oh, is my hair even done? Did they even have a chance to brush? I know what that's like, moms. Some of the dads are just shaking their heads. But they're rushing in. Maybe they'd like a hand. Help them out. Hey, you know what, that crying baby, you look a little tired. Do you think maybe I could hold it for a little bit? A lot of moms are going to say, yes, have the baby. No, but they're going to say, yes, sure, and have a conversation. Sometimes just that little extra step is all we need to do. They work hard all week too, and some have very few hours of sleep. And when you hear from someone from the pulpit say that we have a need in the church body, that means we need you to pray. Pray first. All the things I'm talking about today, pray about them. And ask the Lord, is this something that you should be a part of the solution? Or do you just need to pray for it so that we can see breakthrough happen? See, I'm not saying all of these things, I want you to suddenly sign up for this and this and this and this and this. I'm saying, what is your role in it? And maybe you're to be a part of it, or maybe it's for another season, or maybe you just pray. Because prayer is amazing when we come together. A man named Ed Stetzer says, I always come back to the principle I have believed since I started my missionary journey. We can do it better than I can. I believe we have more to gain by working together than we have to lose. Let's work together. Now, I don't want to pick on people, but older generation, I'm not leaving you out today. Your work's not done. Sorry. The verse in 2 Timothy that we started with says that Timothy's faith was passed down from grandma to mom to Timothy, and then Timothy was spreading the good news. Notice how Timothy's faithful mother and grandmother seemed to carry the whole spiritual parental influence. Regardless of your season of life, God can use you. Let me say that again. Regardless of your season of life, God can use you. You can teach someone in your family or your sphere of influence by way of friendships and connection in and out of the church. And I want to empower the grandmothers and the grandfathers today to lend the comfort, to lend your wisdom, and let you know, you just know how to do it. You've been there. And we need to assure that the tender lives around us are going to thrive. Is this sermon just about getting helpers? Well, yes. But you know what? I want the workers that God is calling. I want the workers that is being stirred up and having a passion. And I want those that are equipped and are ready to nurture and are ready to cause roots to go down deep. And we do that by working together. So it's not just meeting a need. You are helping someone to begin to develop and flourish. And this is why family ministries is so important. We need all ministries. We all need ministry, and we all are part of the body of Christ. Recently, Pastor Wes went out to visit one of our ladies in the church. He interviewed, I would say, one of his heroes of the faith. You may know her. She attends here. Her name is Walda Schreibner. Schreibner. I apologize. We're going to watch a short little video. And please pay attention to what she says.
I was born on a farm near Edmonton, Alberta. My education was only grade 9. High school was 10 miles away, and there were no school buses then. I felt I should attend Bible college in Edmonton. After graduation, I joined another graduate for Vacation Bible School. Then I was asked to pastor a small country church near Leduc, Alberta. I was in charge of Sunday school, Sunday services, and Wednesday Bible study. I was here for 8 years. Then I went to Medicine Hat, Alberta. Reverend Kowalski, our superintendent then, asked me to do children's ministries in the German churches across Canada. After a number of years of traveling to German churches across Canada, I got married to Otto Scheibner. No more traveling. We were both involved in Sunday school, music, choir, etc. In Bethel Church on 33rd Avenue and Fraser Street in Vancouver, BC. Yeah. Ask me some questions.
Yeah, it's interesting because through the years, did you and your husband, you never had children, right?
No, we had no children.
Yeah.
Maybe I had waited too long.
Yeah. But yet, the interesting thing is, when I look at your life and your ministry, you probably were instrumental in helping more children than if you had your own.
Oh, maybe.
Quite honestly, you were a mother to a lot of people. You may not have had children of your own,
yeah,
but like certainly a spiritual mother. And and through the years, you have taught a lot of children. And I am one of the results of that. If you could tell the church anything, if you could say anything to the church, young or old, what would you tell them?
No matter what happens, God is always there. and he'll make a way. But children's work is very important. The children need to know that Jesus is there.
Thank you for sharing, Walda. You have definitely made a mark on the family of God. Walda is right here. Could you stand, Walda? And could you show your appreciation? Walda, Isaiah 54 verse 1 says, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord." About a month ago, we had a talk with some of the young adults in the church. They told us that at this stage in their life, they're feeling rootless, lost, like foreigners and strangers at times in the church. Our young adults told us that they don't feel like they're being challenged. Do you remember that fraction that I gave you, 1 hour in 168 hours in a week? Now, the young people, youth included, are the ones that are doing most or a lot of the teaching upstairs in our church. And they're telling us that their faith isn't being challenged. Well, why? You want to try and figure it out, right? Well, they're at a stage where they're beginning to stand on their own, and they've become individuals with something to say, and they're learning so much about life, whether it's right or wrong, and a lot of them feel that they're not prepared to know how to give an answer, and they're being challenged on what they believe. And at the same time, some are living on their own or in the midst of breaking free from parents and adults that are around them, and they're learning to make their own decisions. But they're saying, we need to be taught more. We need to be explained the biblical truths in a manner that helps us to truly understand so that we can stand on our own and we can stand on our own faith. And it's not mom and dad's faith that we're believing. It's because we choose to believe. As a staff, we've talked about young adults, what can we do? Well, we're going to be preaching some sermons that will help their understanding and their apologetics. We've hired on Pastor Dave. And he's going to work with the young adults in the church so that they have someone to go to for help, for discipleship, for some training. And we're working with the young adults to create some times where that they can get together, they can worship, they can have small group time for learning and for fun. Well, I want to make you aware of this. We're not leaving anything out this morning. Tried to think of it all. But I want to make you aware of this so that you can reach out to them too. When you see them at church, please don't leave this up to the greeters and the ushers. If you know them, can you do your part? We want to reach this generation. You know what they want? They want meaningful conversations in their lives. The young adults want to see faithfulness and integrity modeled in front of them. They want to see what we do. They want to see how we react and how we live. And what do we truly stand for? And that what we say really means something. They want honest and truthful answers when they ask you questions because they want to go deeper. Remember those sacred roots? Yeah, they want that. But as pastors, we can't just do it. we need to work together. Amen. We need to reach this next generation. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3 says that Paul prayed for Timothy night and day. You know what? The young adults want you to invest in their lives. Would you be willing to commit to pray for one young person in our church for a month if we give you a name? Some young adults have even asked for mentors. They want someone to talk with or pray with, to meet with during this phase in their life to help them stay on track, to give them wisdom. You know, I'm realizing that as a mom, my kids are great. They do come to me for a lot of things. But you know, sometimes there's that little thing they might not want to talk to me about. Wow. Sure would be great if I don't just put all my eggs in one basket and say, just go talk to your Sunday school teacher. Well, what about, hey, we got a great congregation here. And if they saw one of my girls floundering or needing help, they'd say, hey, let me help you. Let's go for a little drink. Let's go for some ice cream. Ice cream for Sierra, by the way. Coffee for Ashley. But anyways, you know what? And I hope that I could do that for your kids too. Are you willing to be a mentor? The world desperately needs strong Christians, and our young adults are our emerging leaders, and they need God-breathed relationships now in their lives. All of this comes back to a family. We are a family. So you know what? Even if you don't have another family member in this church, I want to tell you that I'm your family, that we are your family. Whether you are single, married, divorced, young, old, we are the body of Christ. We are your family. You know, look around to the person who's sitting beside you, to the right and to the left. Look at them. They're your family. And look behind you and in front of you. They're your family. I know, sometimes we don't always got to pick, but you know, these guys, you guys are good. I'll pick you. But when we have a strong family to lean on, we can do it. We can do it in the tough times. When we have a strong family to talk with, then when we have questions, we have a place to go for answers. And when we have a strong family, then our family can grow. Look at the seats. We have room for growth. When we have love, integrity, faithfulness, sincere and honest faith, that's what Eunice and Lois had, sincere and honest faith. And it's handed down to us. Then I'm persuaded that we will have the strongest foundations in Christ for our kids and for our lives. And it is then that we have the sacred roots that go down to the streams of living water, which yield fruit, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever we do prospers. There was a man named Andy Rooney, and he used to be on a show called 60 Minutes. CBS had it on. He's since passed. But I found some really interesting quotes. He was very good with words. And I really like how he said a few of these, so I picked a few because I think it fits with what we're talking about today. He says, I've learned that the best classroom in the world is at the feet of an elderly person. We all could learn a lot from Walda. I've learned that having a child fall asleep in your arms is one of the most peaceful feelings in the world. I've learned that I can always pray for someone when I don't have the strength to help him in any other way. I've learned that sometimes all a person needs is a hand to hold and a heart to understand. I've learned that simple walks with my father around the block on summer nights when I was a child did wonders for me as an adult. Way to go, dads. I've learned that the easiest way for me to grow as a person is to surround myself with people that are smarter than I am. Right, Pastor Wes? Amen. I've learned that everyone you meet deserves to be greeted with a smile. I've learned that when your newly born grandchild holds your little finger in his little fist, you're hooked for life. Spa Church loves God. I've seen it. And I've been praying that this word is not harsh to you. But I'm also reminded this morning that sometimes it hurts and you gotta speak to the family as you should. Throw out the vegetables and keep the meat. My dad always said, eat the meat first, Nicole. So what I'm saying today, Spa Church, you are an encouraging church. I don't want that to stop. As a family, we all need to work together on our young people's faith and spiritual education. That's what I'm saying today. And number one, we need strong sacred roots in our church. Number two, we need strong children, youth, and young adults who love the Lord and know what and why they believe it. Number three, we need to work together. Four, we can do it better than just I can or just you can. Number five, regardless of your season of life or age, God can use you. Number six, we need you to step up. Number seven, we can only reach these goals if you help. It's like the song you sing to toddlers. When we all work together, 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 when we all work together, how happy we'll be. Let's bow your heads. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for our congregation. Thank you for the people, the family that is before us. We are blessed. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless our church, our children, our parents, our young adults, our youth. I pray that you would continue to bless our families, bless our grandparents, our elderly. And Lord, raise up leaders and helpers for our church. You have deposited awesome spiritual gifts, and we just need to start using them. We just need to start functioning fully for what you have for us, because amazing things will happen. Help us not to be fearful, but instead to step forward in faith and say, yes, yes, I will. Lord, I pray you would bless our mothers, our grandmothers. Thank you for them. Thank you for all that they do. And Lord, be with those who may have lost their mother or their child, or maybe they're not even able to be a mother. Be with them, especially today, oh God. Pour into their hearts and their lives. May they know your compassion and love. May they know your healing balm and your peace. Lord, help us all to work together as a family. Guide us and direct us now, I pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen. If God is speaking to you about helping in any of these areas, please let us know. Talk to one of the pastors. Call the office. Leave your name at the info desk. But if anything, pray. Pray about where can you help? What can you do?